Support for WGLT's Grow comes from FS Custom Turf by Evergreen FS. FS Custom Turf offers complete lawn and tree care services to preserve the health of yards, trees, and shrubs. Products and services detailed at evergreen-fs.com.
It only makes sense. The ground you walk on in the winter freezes, but different soils in different places freeze differently, and there are benefits to the freeze-thaw cycle. I'm Mike McCurdy. This is GLT's Grow, your source for practical gardening advice from our expert Patrick Murphy from Illinois State University School of Biological Sciences and curator of the Fell Arboretum. Murph, thanks for stopping by Sound Ideas.
Glad to be with you.
I have to say, I've given this topic practically zero thought prior to our preparation for this episode because I just don't garden or have much interaction with the soil in the winter. Is the ground freezing, or is it the water content in the soil that's freezing?
I think that it's more accurate to say the water in the soil is freezing. And here in the Midwest, it's frozen for a moment and then it thaws out again. Right now, we're looking at some sunny weather with some high temps, which means the soil will loosen and then allow the water to penetrate further into the soil, as far further in depth and further in density, so more pores will be filled.
We're not really looking at layers here. The water is completely interspersed and mixed with the soil.
Yeah, and if you can, you know, if you kind of imagine, you know, a bunch of ping pong balls in a box and then all the space between the ping pong balls, that's where the water lies. And we know from Grow Corporate that all soils are a version of sand, silt, and clay. Wherever you live, those are the three basic components that make up soil.
So different types of soil freeze differently.
They do, Mike. And the light-colored sandy soils, they'll freeze more because they're lighter in color and they reflect heat, versus a dark-colored soil, which absorbs it.
So it's not really about the amount of water those types of soil can hold.
It's just one of the many nuances that affect the manner in which the ground freezes.
So is clay a light soil or a dark soil, and how does it hold water?
Well, clay horizons are usually down below the surface, so the clay can be light or dark color, and it doesn't have as much to do with it as it does when the surface color is light or dark. And the space in between the pores in clay is very, very small. So when it does get cold, a little bit of water that's in that few pores, it gets forced out as it starts to freeze.
Is this why we see frost or freeze heaves in the wintertime? I've actually planted mums in the fall, you know, and just plopped them in the ground. I'll walk back out there later, and that root ball is sort of halfway out.
Yeah, I can tell you, like, from in an urban area where the frost heaves and breaks the pavement, that always comes after there's been some substantial rainfall, or even, say, a water main broke and it saturated the soil underneath the street and the sidewalk, and then it gets really cold, and then that shows you how powerful the forces of freezing are.
And then pore ice, that's we're talking about clay. There's not as much in clay. What is pore ice?
Pore ice is the little bit of water that's in between all of the little particles of sand or clay or silt, whatever is down there. It also includes the early components for soil development, like dead bugs and frass, which is insect dung. All those things are down there. The difference is that the early pieces of soil building material, they're crushed when the ice develops.
Frass. I've learned something today.
Yes.
So it makes sense. I've not really thought about it much before, like I said, but it makes sense. There's a lot of frozen ground out there right now.
There is. Half of the Western Hemisphere is seasonally frozen, and a quarter of that area remains frozen permanently. You know, so you got your Klondike areas of Canada, other parts of Northern America, the high elevation areas, the Sierra Nevadas, all those areas have places where the ground just never thaws out. That's permafrost. Permafrost is also areas that may have not always been frozen, but have remained frozen for 2 years or more.
So do we know how climate change is affecting any of this, impacts on tundra, permafrost, agriculture?
The weather definitely has an impact in the manner in which soils freeze, how often, how deeply, and when water levels rise, that has a big impact on how water freezes at the edge where the water and soil meet.
So how does snow affect the soil? Good for it when it melts, of course.
Snow is a little different than rain. You know, it takes 10 inches or more of snow to equal 1 inch of rainfall. A thin covering of light snow on a sunny day can actually warm the soil beneath it because the snow acts like a magnifier. And it's also why we can sometimes get early lawn diseases like fairy ring or snow mold. They come about because of this phenomenon. If it was bare soil, it's going to freeze more than the snow-covered soil would.
We talked about different types of soil. What about different locations?
Yeah, like the soil that's beneath a plant, particularly conifers. The branches as well as the needles, they shade the ground for more hours of the day. Sometimes the shade is dense enough that it never goes away. And those areas are going to freeze more deeply and sooner.
And besides soil underneath trees, what about the terrain, you know, on slopes, hills, that kind of thing?
Yeah, banks and slopes and hills, they have numerous factors that impact the exposure to sunlight, water moving on the surface or subsurface, and even how the air and the changing water levels play in there. So if the slope faces south or west, it's going to be warmed by the sun on clear sunny days.
And you mentioned there's a benefit to all of this. Nature has adapted to take advantage of the freeze-thaw cycle.
That's the part that I find very interesting about this topic is seed germinating is affected by freeze and thaw because some of the seeds have to be broken free from some little case, and the freezing and thawing helps that. And then for a lot of the smaller seeds that we encounter in nature, they have a thick protective coating on them. The freezing and thawing of those small protective layers around the seeds is loosened by the freezing and thawing. It also helps damaged branches break free from the tree. It's always kind of a crescendo of events that brings the branch down to the ground. And we alluded to it earlier, when the soil freezes, it smashes stuff in there that's not already a permanent soil particle, and that adds organic matter to the soil.
So it continues to help it break down.
The cycle continues.
What about agriculture? Does it make soil prep easier, that freezing and thawing?
Yeah, there's a paradigm there, Mike, because sometimes when you look at a field that's been cultivated after harvest and you see the bare soil and the large clods, one would understandably be concerned about the soil erosion losses that come from rain and wind. But some of those forces actually go to work for the farmers in breaking those clods into smaller pieces as they freeze and thaw over the winter months, so that when the cultivator does go through there, there's less resistance.
So in my small garden plot, is bare soil the best, or should I think about a cover crop?
Well, for a small one, Mike, I think it's good to keep it covered because you could get every weed seed in town that blows in there eventually. Also, too, if you keep it covered, it's going to give you the opportunity to work on it at the earliest possible opportunity for the 2019 planting season. There are lots of garden blankets, if you will, that can be purchased that allow you to keep the ground from freezing entirely. And some of those, I think, were duplicitous to the concrete folks that tried to figure out a way to get concrete to dry during cold weather.
So not even a cover crop in my small plot. It's best just to maybe cover it, and that would keep the extra weeds from getting in there.
Yeah, and the cover crop's nice because you can turn it into the soil and you get this little boost of organic matter there. But an actual covering is good too because it does protect the ground from getting unwanted weed seeds and things deposited on top of the ground.
If you have any questions about freezing ground or soil or anything in nature and gardening, submit them at wglt.org/grow. Next time we'll talk about DIY chemicals for the garden. I assume some caution would be necessary.
Always with chemicals, Mike, that is for sure.
That's Patrick Murphy. I'm Mike McCurdy. Send your gardening questions to wglt.org/grow.